following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. This is the show that sits there in your brain, right there next to the deep-seated rage, and over there between the soul-crushing self-doubt. it's where we live. It's where we hang. It's where we deal with things. It's like the catbird seat, if you will. It's riding shotgun along with the rest of your misery. What's your problem, bro? I have a bunch of them. But hey, don't we all? We all go through this thing. We all go through life. We all trying to do our things, and we're just trying to hold our head up, trying to give ourselves a will to keep going. If it seems like I'm being a little more morose than usual, sometimes it weighs on me. Sometimes it weighs on me about having a sense of worth, I think, is part of it. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you work, and we're all the same way. And I'm speaking very generally here. We all do the things that we do every day. We get up, we go through our routines, we get in the car, we go to our job. If we have one. If you don't have one, you figured it out. Thank you so very much. You go to wherever it is that you go to do things. The question was brought to me once about a mutual friend. They were like, well, what does this guy do? And I was like, well, he works for, you know, a warehouse company. Like, no, what does he do? What does he do? You know, like when he's not working, or, you know, what's he like at home? It was kind of a question. It was a peek into the personality as to, you know, who this individual is. What is it that he does? It's not the first time I've heard this. Several people have often laid out very similar questions about certain things. What does this individual do? What is he like? And when you're posed with that question, you think you know the guy or girl or whomever you're talking about. You kind of sit there and go, I don't know. You bring up a valid point. What does he do? People that keep their lives close to their vest. I know you're thinking, well, those are the ones you got to look out for, bro. Those are the ones that are, you know, they've got a bunch of, Tibetan children hiding in the trunk of their car or something. It's not like that. No, it's just that people can be inherently private. I walk a fine line with being private and doing what I do for a living, which is this. Or be, you know, on stage somewhere, and, you know, behind a microphone, in front of a camera, wherever it is. It is, and it's difficult because everything, especially this show, is based in some form of reality. I mean, is any of this real? Yeah, it is. It's all real. There's maybe some exaggeration about things from time to time, but it's all very real. Our lives are very important to ourselves. If you remember way back, I can almost, years ago, which it probably was, there was an episode of this podcast, there was two of them actually, that was done at Elmwood Cemetery here in Memphis. Beautiful place. There's like 80,000, 85,000 people that are buried there. You know, you'd think it's a really big place. And it is sizable, but it's not. I mean, there's some mass graves in there because of the yellow fever and whatnot, and some horribly tragic things that happened in this city. Nevertheless, a good friend of mine put it this way, that everybody in that cemetery has a story. You know, they have a story. They have a story to tell. They have a story that you should learn about. You'd walk by these headstones and you read them. And it's, you know, John Smith, born on this date, lived a life, died on this date, was a husband, a father, you know, and friend or whatever it might say. But you wonder what it was he did. What did he do? What did he do? Was he a carpenter? Maybe. Did he like ice cream? We hope. He was probably into needlepoint, perhaps. There's no answer for some of these things. And some, you know, sometimes you wonder as you go through your daily routine, as I mentioned, everything that you do when you get up and you go places and the things that you do, you wonder if all of a sudden you were not doing that, if you were just gone, something unfortunate, if you happened to pass away, would you be remembered for anything that you did? Or what it is that you do? It's a valid question because a lot of us in this world want to leave behind something that is larger than ourselves. I've come to that conclusion a long time ago. That's why the effort that we've put into Radio Memphis has been what it is, because I feel very strongly about that. I feel very intensely enthusiastic about that, because it is. I have no children, and I want this thing to outlast me. I want it to be bigger than me. I want it to be something that will go on. I think it will. I hope it does. We have our moments, of course, with it. But that's part of it. That's what I do. What I do is I work on something I want to be better and bigger than me. Perhaps we'll get there. I don't know. Some of you listening to this may have children. You want them to be better than you. You want them to have a better life. You want them to have perhaps a better education, a better experience. And you want them to go out and make a good mark on the world as well. It's what you do. You see what I'm saying? It's what you do. It's what you want. It's what you desire. Hopefully your kids feel the same way. Like I said, I don't have kids. It would be a bad idea if I did. But the... because I'd fail miserably. The idea that you have created something, poured your flesh and blood into things. You let something dominate a gigantic part of your head. It is your hope that once there comes that time when you let it go and you walk away from it, because you've done all that you can do, you have built this thing to the best of your known ability, and you turn it loose and walk away from it, that is what you've done. That is it. That's the job done. Now, frankly, I I don't see that happening. I don't know that I'll ever retire. I don't know that will ever be a thing. I'm one of those people now that I've reached this point in my life that there is literally nothing else that I could do. there's nowhere else to go. It's not like I could just go, oh, fuck this. I think I'm just going to go start a new career as a fishmonger. I'm going to go get a job making donuts. Sure, you could do that. It's never too late for any type of change. You see those stories about grandma at 99 graduated from college with her degree finally. It happens. You can change course. You can change your life. You can do all sorts. I know. I get that. But when it comes to the point where you've invested so much of your soul into something, you become a bit vulnerable for it. That's a thing. And what I mean by that is that, and this is probably the protectionism that goes with these sorts of things, you start to feel as though that anytime somebody wrinkles their nose at you or rolls their eyes behind your back about it or does something or says something negative about this, that, or the other, whatever the case may be, all of these things will weigh on you, and they sit in that spot, that tiny little spot in your head that's that feels like it has the most powerful thing going on. And it's that on and off switch that triggers that, oh, God, well, nobody cares now. I'm done. I'm just going to, nobody cares. Nobody wants any of this. Why should I bother? Why should I sit down and do this when nobody cares? It's a powerful thing. It really is. It borders with depression, without a doubt. It's a form of it. People that have depression, which is a good number of folks do, they all deal with it in different ways. And being depressed doesn't mean that you're just automatically going to go somewhere and jump your, you know, hurl yourself off a cliff. It's just that's stereotypical. That's generalizing, and that is not the case by a long shot. There are those who do feel that way, but for the most part, those that suffer from, I guess, occupational depression, which is probably what I have. And I don't want medicine for that, because Jesus Christ, that's not going to help. These are my scars. I shall own them. The idea that you have to reckon with these moments and to fight them and to, you know, wrestle that monkey in that cage and deal with that as best you can. That's why I practice bits of meditation. That helps. There's some other extracurricular things that might happen, but that's just me trying to unwind. Let the monkey out of the cage, if you will. And I've learned that it's okay to have those moments of where you feel sort of a bit under despair, or you feel like a bit under pressure, or as another friend says, I feel compressed. Compressed on time, compressed on ability, compressed in having the funds to pull something together, you know, that sort of thing. I get all that. I mean, we're all the same. There's a point that happens just about every month of the year where I'm a little uptight, a little anxious. You know, am I going to be able to have all the bills paid? You know, we all do that. Gee, hope we can pay the bills. Gets a little nervous, a little nerve-wracking, a little fear. Nothing wrong with fear. It keeps you on your toes. That's for sure. But you can't let it dominate you. I've made the statement before, and I think we've all done this, and it's actually more of a joke than anything. There are those moments where you need to, like, move your car. We have a single driveway. It's not wide enough for two cars. One has to park in front of the other. And I may be, you know, parked behind the wife, and she'll say, hey, listen, I need you to move your car. I need to go. And I said, okay, no problem. I get out there. I get in the car. I put the key in the ignition. I start it up. I begin to back out a little bit. You know, I'm going to move it into the street. And I just instinctually look over at the fuel gauge and go, wow, I got a 3/4 of a tank of gas here. Well, that might get me to, that might get me to Kentucky. That's going to get me somewhere. Far, far from here, and nobody would know. I would just disappear. Would anybody care? Would anybody even? Sometimes you wonder if they would. You know deep down inside that there are those that will, and you just need that reassurance, I guess. Sometimes it, wow, but it is fun. It's fun to entertain that moment. I could just put it in drive and just keep right on going. see ya. Maybe. I don't know. I'll call when I get out of gas. Hey, I'm in Iowa. I'm lost. Come get me. I'm so sorry. But you don't do that, because there's that immediate reality of what are you going to do when you get there? It's still there. All your problems, all everything that's living inside your head, you just moved it to a different state. It's still where you are. If you take the idea, the sentiment, the line, I've got to carry my ass home, which it's not in reference to a donkey, although it could be, and it makes it far more amusing when you think of it that way, but I got to take my ass home, or I got to take my ass to the bar. I got to take my ass somewhere. The act of taking one's ass, which means you really can't leave it behind. Although there might be times where you wish you could, you can't. So your ass is with you wherever you are. It's right behind you, usually, depending on who you are. And that goes to illustrate my point. Wherever it is that you go, whatever it is that you take with you is always going to be there. Whether it's your ass, which is permanently pretty much attached to everybody, or everybody has one. Some are flatter than others. Some are larger than others. That's fine. It's an ass. But you're also carrying with you all the things in your head. You often see those little memes, those little photographs, those little inspirational things in social media. Just set it down, brah. Set down your fears. Set down your anxieties and let it go. And it'll be okay. To a certain extent, it's probably true. But you can't just ignore shit either. You can't just, sorry, I got my phone cut off. I just, it's a little tight on money. I just told me not to worry about it, so I didn't. You can't take that shit literally. Take your ass to the phone place and pay your bill. Take your ass somewhere and try not to think about it. That's the trick. Every day in my life, every day, I wake up with a slight sense of fear. It's not dominating. It doesn't ruin me. It doesn't run me. It doesn't decide things for me. It's there. Every day I wake up with that little thing of fear. And it might be something different each time. It might be, well, I'm afraid of what my day is going to bring. I know I've got this going on. I'm afraid about this meeting, perhaps. I'm afraid of driving into work because I could get hit by a bus. I'm afraid to walk out into my driveway. I might get hit by a satellite. This might be the day when it all falls apart. Or conversely, and this is a thing, I'm afraid everything will go right. Because then it's a then what thing. Then it's like, okay, now what? This is my life now. What am I going to do? There's that fear that somehow I've been trapped in some sort of a strange lie, not perpetuated by me, but by somebody else. I mean, really elaborate shit. But it's always there. We all have those things. We're not different from each other in that aspect. We all have that. And it's not a bad thing. It really isn't. It used to be, with me, I would wake up every day and the first words out of my mouth to my wife were, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've put you through this by living with an ass like me, a difficult individual at best. And we've moved along from that now because she told me to stop it. And now I wake up with that little bit of fear. Like I said, it's not a bad thing. I guess that's what makes life somewhat interesting. I'm not one of those people that could just wake up every day and go, oh, what a glorious day this is. Typically, I'm waking up going, holy crap. I could stay in this bed for days. It's a sign of depression, bro. I want to sleep all the time. Nope, that's a sign of me being tired. That's what that is. And it's self-inflicted because I stay up late. I'm a night owl. That's what I do. I hit my peak creativity between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. That's about where it goes for me. So I tend to do a lot of that work. Although I don't do this show at that time, which is strange. I do this before I have to head down to the studio for the Blue Show. I do it on Sundays, typically right now. Although we'll be doing something different. I'll get to that in a moment. But you have to understand that the way I live my life is comfortable for me, and maybe not for me to be around other people. Might be a little nervous about what it is that I say or do or think or feel. But once again, as I've mentioned before, we all have these things. We're not that different from each other. What goes on in our heads, there's somebody out there going through the exact same thing. If it's some sort of an anxiety, that's part of it. It's tied with a little bit of depression and a little bit of anxiety, that anxious feeling that, hey, things are going to be okay if I could just let it go. Sorry, my phone got cut off. I just let it go, bro. can't get that out of my head, out of my mind. Every day is that struggle. Every day we get up, we go and we do our thing. We hope that we've done the best that we can. By the time we get done with our day, we come home to spend time with our loved ones as much as we can. Perhaps a beverage, perhaps a dinner, perhaps some time in front of the TV for a moment. And then it's time to go to bed and to turn out the light and lay there in the dark and wonder if it's all going to be the same thing again tomorrow. What am I going to wake up to tomorrow? What is it I'm going to have to deal with? I use calendars. I keep copious notes on a lot of things. But it's along those lines of people, and I'm one of these people too. Well, one of the first things I do when I get up is I look at the news from around the world real quick, just a quick scan of the headlines, thinking that maybe we've just blown ourselves to bits. As if we live in such a weird, which we do. We live in a very weird, combustible situation, which doesn't help. You and I don't have much control over these things, but that's just the fact of the matter. And you also take inventory, you take stock of those things too. It's not just not what's happening around you that you can't control. It's the stuff that's happening inside of you, inside of your world that you can control. And you do. You go through that thing about, I don't know how this is going to shape up. This might be a complete disaster. This might be a complete clusterfuck. This might be one of those days where I can't do anything right. You trip trying to put your pants on. You bang your head against the closet door. You're waking everybody up when that happens. You're knocking glasses over in the kitchen trying to get a glass out of the cupboard to have a glass of water. Can't find your keys because you put them right where you knew you would find them. You get in the car. You're driving way too fucking fast. These things are what makes us who we are. And I'm convinced of that. But it also puts us in an interesting position because we're not up and down without it, you know? If we were just happy and everything was groovy day in and day out and everything was just stellar and fantastic, it reminds me that I would be pretty bored with that. Need a little excitement. That's why Facebook exists, because there's a lot of stinking drama on that now, isn't there? That's all part of it. It's part of the fun. Gotta have those ups, gotta have those downs. But the bottom line is that you go to wherever it is that you go through your routine every day. And then you do the things that you do. Not to sound poetic or anything, but that's what it is. Do them. Do the things that you do and do them well. And try not to complain. that's what my mother always says. I wish she wouldn't complain so much. Just stop complaining. You're just complaining all the time. Yeah, I'm complaining. I'm pretty good about complaining. I'm also pretty good about bitching too, because there's two separate things right there. One who knows how to do both of those things would know the difference. I shan't explain it here. Since for the past 23 minutes, I've been doing nothing but bitching. Not really. I've said it before in this show that you people are my therapist, and this has certainly been one of those other examples of how that goes. You look at the things that are happening outside of your control, and then you feel as though that stuff is being projected directly onto you with no clear reason and no clear rhyme and no clear solution to these issues. And it feels like they affect you when they actually don't. But it's hard to remember that when you're in the midst of these moments where you're sitting there thinking, God, must you people be like this all the time? Where is it that I thought that I was doing a good job, but I feel like I'm not? Where is everybody? Does anybody care? Does anybody give a shit at all about anything? That's some days. And other days is, hey, man, I'm doing my thing. Get out of my way. I don't give a shit what you do. Just don't do it near me. Say that. It's generalization. But the bottom line is this, and I've learned to keep up with this. Whatever it is that you do, do it. Just go. Don't answer any questions. Just do it. You know, if it's, if whatever floats your boat is great. Just don't sink mine. That kind of an idea. It's none of my business what you do. As long as you don't hurt yourself or hurt anybody else. Like, who cares? Just do it. And try not and let the bastards drag you down. Because there's a lot of that, man. There is a lot of that. That's what people strive for. These bastards are going to come get me and they're going to drag me down to the depths. And I'm not going to do it. Although, there are days. You know what I mean?
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
So I'm sitting here looking at my calendar, trying to get a production schedule in my head here to get everything kind of back on track here in Studio A with this show. And we've got a bunch of things that I want to do here. One of which was talked about, was actually doing an episode of the show live on Facebook Live for you to be able to kind of see kind of what goes on, at least through the meaty part of this thing. And we'll have a little bit of fun along the way. We'll chat. We'll have some fun. We'll take your questions, statements, whatever it is that we do during that time. So if you want in on this, you need to find me on Facebook. Look for Rick Cheddar. If we're not friends yet, go ahead and send me a friend request. If you seem legit, yeah, we'll take you in there. And then coming up sometime during the week of the 17th, which is a Monday, the 17th, sometime through that week of July, we'll pick a date, we'll sit down, we'll do it, we'll tell you all about it, and it'll be a lot of fun so you can get involved with it. So how about that? That's coming up on a future episode right here from Radio Land.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radio Land.
It's kind of like pulling teeth, bro. You know, it's just, you know, there was a time when I did, when I had to, I went through a lot of really bad shit. Who hasn't, right? And it was a little bit for me to handle at the time. And I was, at the urgence of a friend of mine, I went to a therapist for a bit, which there's no shame in that. There's, in fact, if you haven't done it, I highly recommend it. It was pretty good. And, we dealt with this, my therapist and I, we dealt with some of my issues for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, something like that, maybe 5 months. It was great. It was fine. I felt pretty good about it. It was just nice having that chat, having that conversation. And there were some times where it really felt difficult, you know, it felt hard for me to talk about these things. But once I got through them, and once I was able to speak about them, in far more detail than I have today. the therapist, he said, I think we had some moment. It's an unloading thing. Do you feel any better about it? And I said, it's not like a breakthrough thing that you hear the tropey. Well, I think we just had a breakthrough. It's not like one of those. As it is, like, I feel like I've just taken a big dump after I sit in the all you can eat dairy bar. You know, it's one of those deals. But it works. So if you're having, like, if in all seriousness, if you're having some serious issues and you're trying to keep everything into perspective, do yourself a favor. Find somebody to talk to. There's somebody out there, and there's something for everybody. Even if you don't want to go through the whole thing with a therapist, find a very good close friend and sit down with them and talk with them. Sometimes that actually helps probably better. You know? Don't get yourself in a position where they need to put you on meds, because you don't want that. That's a fact of the matter right there. So, you know, sometimes just doing something like this, just venting it out for a little bit, do something. Hey, if you like to paint, you know, if you like to paint pictures and stuff, do that. Empty your head. That's what works for me sometimes. Go and do something. What's the old, whatever it is in this world that has you down, the best cure for it is to go do something. Work on something. Work on a project. If you don't have a job, do something. Work. Paint a picture. That's work. You know, there's all fun, all sorts of fun stuff. All right, kids, let's get into some music. This guy here is he's a cool dude. You can catch him. He plays at this little place called Stone Soup Cafe every Saturday from 10 to 1, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. He's in there by himself with his guitar. He does a great job. Davey Ray is his name. Davey's cool. He's a very good guitar player. He's got like this classical bent, but he also has a lot of jazz to him. And he's got a little kind of a poppy thing, as you're about to hear, because he's got a band called The Janks. Davey Ray and The Janks is what it is. And here's a song from him. It's called Saddest Times. And here it is from Radioland.
shot. Sometimes my fears are all I've got. I obsess over emptiness, depression playing on my stress. I've got to kick this state of mind. I wish my heart were not so blind. There's more to me than what you see. There's more to me than mortality.
Davy Ray and the Janks, Saddest Times from Radio Land. Pick up a copy of it, add it to your collection. I'm sure you'll dig it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great, it's a fantastic tune, fantastic album. It's just some good stuff there. And he plays, like I mentioned, at Stone Soup in Midtown on Saturdays. And he plays occasionally. He's got the big room over there at Lafayette's at Overton Square every once in a while. So I've heard of him play over there. So keep your eye open for him. Look for him, Davy Ray and the Janks. Every Monday he goes sailing. He owns a sailboat. He's every Monday. He's a, doesn't matter the weather. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. Every Monday, he goes sailing. So good for him. Right on, right? All right, kids, you've heard what's coming up next time. In the meantime, I'm going to get out of here. I've got to head my ass over to the studio and get some shit done. So y'all be sweet. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. For God's sake, quit shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.